you, Brother Danny. Bless you to be here this morning. We're grateful the Lord's give us this time and opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. And we do need your prayers, the Lord, to help us this morning, that I might proclaim His Word, preach as He'd have us to preach this morning. If you have a Bible with you, I call your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. I'm going to read maybe three or four different verses out of that chapter, not all together. And so just open to that chapter, if you will, and I'll begin with verse number 7, then I'll drop down and read a couple of more places there. John chapter 3. I realize I could take the time to read the whole chapter, but I just want to emphasize these verses and emphasize there's a word there that I want to try to preach on. And I, possibly not been too long ago that I preached from this word here, but I feel led to go back again this morning and maybe say some things that I didn't say before. I don't know, just trying to follow the leadership of the Lord this morning and give to you what's on my heart this morning. John chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Look at verse 14 now. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Then drop down to verse number 30, where He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Lord, I thank You for the reading of the Scriptures this morning. I appreciate, Lord, the fact that You have preserved Your Word for us unto this generation. I appreciate, Lord, the day that You've given us and the night that You've took care of us. I thank You for the blessings of life, the blessings of this week. I thank You, dear Lord, for loving us and saving us and putting us in the family of God. I thank You for calling me to preach, and I thank You for giving us an open door this morning. Now, thank You for the songs and testimonies and prayers that have already been rendered this morning. I pray now You'd help me as I endeavor to preach. I pray that You'd give me that unction and utterance that a man can't preach without. I pray I can lose sight of myself. And, Lord, I pray that my heart and mind and spirit would be immersed in the Word of God, in the will of God, in the ways of God. And that You might take me now as a vessel and fill me. Lord, and that You, Lord, might take me as a mouthpiece and speak through me. And I pray I can be pliable and usable in Your hands this morning. I pray anything and everything that would hinder, Lord, You from using me this morning, and that cause You, Lord, not to be able to speak through me, I pray You'd cleanse me of it and forgive me and purge me. And Lord, I pray now that the Word of God would go forth from these lips of clay in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. I pray they can find lodging in the hearts and lives of the people that are here this morning. Would You awaken every sinner to their need of You? Would You draw with conviction, Lord, every sinner, Lord, to You today? May this be the day in repentance and faith they'd turn to You and be saved. Let nothing hinder that, Lord. Bind every force of hell and Satan that would defeat, Lord, that from being accomplished today. I pray for every saint that You'd speak to us and revive us and work in us and through us and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, may we leave here bettered by coming today. Lord, I pray above everything now that You'd get glory to Your worthy name. Lord, and what You're pleased to do in, through, and for us, we'll praise You. For we ask what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You for standing while we read the Word of God and then prayed together. I want to preach on that little word that's found in these three of the verses, that little word must. That little word must. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He must increase, I must decrease. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Not only just confine it to these verses, but I want to confine it to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Nine different times in the Gospel of John, is this little word must used. This little word must. Six of those times, it speaks about some things that Jesus must do. And then three times, it speaks about mankind and what man must do. I'm amazed that it even mentioned that there were some things that Jesus must do. Here is the Son of God. Here is God the Son. And yet there are some things that He must do. I mean, here's my friend God incarnate. And yet there were some things that He needed or had to or were of necessity for Him to do. When you think about God, what would necessitate or what would cause God to have to do something? I mean, God is sovereign and nobody is higher than Him. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is sovereign, or He is in control of everything. And there's no one higher than He. No throne greater than His. And yet, as the Son of Man, as the Son of God became the Son of Man, there were some necessities or some things that He had to do or that He must do. Amen. May I say this morning, in relationship to that, everything that He must do was simply, my friend, the work of the Father. Everything that was a necessity for Him was a doing the work or the will of the Father. I'm amazed at that this morning. I still get amazed over the incarnation and how that God became flesh and dwelt among us. How that Christ was the only begotten of the Father. And He was man, but He was God. That amazes me. But I'm grateful that He came. For had He not come, we would forever been lost. Amen. But notice these verses this morning. First of all, I want to talk to you about Jesus and the must for Him, or the necessities, or the things that He had to do. Amen. Again, may I remind you, they are, my friend, because of the works that He was doing for the Father. John 9, verse 4, that's what He said. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works of Him that sent me. Oh, I'm grateful for that this morning. John chapter 4, when Jesus was sitting at the well of Sychar, and that my friend disciples had went into the city to buy some meat, because when they left Him, He was hungry. When that woman came there to the well, my friend, and they talked, and you know the story there. But when the disciples came back, my friend, they said, "We brought you something to eat, Lord. You were hungry when we left. We've got some food for you." And He said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Amen. And so Christ had the necessity laid upon Him, or He must do the work and the will of the Father. Amen. And everything that He did involved finishing that work, completing that work. What was that work? The work of redemption. My friend, the work, my friend, of saving sinners. Amen. And He did everything He did with that in mind, accomplishing a redemption for us, obtaining a salvation for us. What a blessing this morning. Notice, my friend, He said, "I must work the works of Him that sent me." And here's what followed that.
my friend, John 4:4, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He had to take a trip through Samaria. Why? To do the work of his father. From where he was at, out of where he was going, Samaria was the closest way for him to go through. But him being a Jew, they had not normally went through Samaria. They had went around Samaria from north to south because the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings. But this day Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I've got to journey through Samaria. I've got to make a trip through Samaria. Well, who was that Samaria? There was a woman, my friend, that needed a Savior, coming to the well at noon, and Jesus knew it, and so he went through Samaria. Thank the Lord. He bore the shame. Thank God. He bore the reproach. My friend, he did what was not normal or expected. How to reach that individual. Amen. He didn't sin. He didn't do wrong. My friend, he stepped outside of the customs and what was thought of him and expected of him. Amen. Why? Well, John 10:16 said it. He said, my friend, he said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, that there'll be one shepherd and one fold. You see that little group of disciples? He said, you're not the only sheep there are. He said, there's other sheep that's not of this fold. Thank God. And them I must call. And one was that Samaritan. Thank God. My friend, there were other Jews, my friend, that needed to be called, that were just not in that little group of 12 or that little group of 70. My friend, that he called and sent out. Oh my. But not just other Jews. I'm glad, thank God, there was us Gentiles. And though we were outside of the fold of Israel, outside, my friend, the commonwealth of Israel, I'm glad he came to us. Amen. I'm glad he, my friend, came to us Gentiles, that there might be one shepherd and one fold. Amen. Thank God. And then, may I say, I read the verse this morning. Another of his work, my friend, was the fact that he said to Nicodemus in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He said it's a necessity, it's a have to, it's a must that the Son of Man be lifted up. I've got to be lifted up, amen. In John 12, verse 32, he said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And when he said that, the Bible said there were some that said, we heard out of the law in verse 34 that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? What are you talking about? If you're the Messiah, if you're the one we're looking for, if you're the Christ, if you're the chosen, the anointed one, if you're the one that's come to save us, then tell us. Why, my friend, must you be lifted up? The Scripture says that you'll abide forever. What do you mean, be lifted up from the earth? What do you mean? You're going to have to die. But that's exactly what he was telling Nicodemus and telling these people, that he must be lifted up. The Jews only look for a Messiah, my friend, or a Savior, or a Redeemer, and God, or the Christ, to come and reign on the throne of Israel and lift them from Roman oppression, and set up an earthly kingdom where they can rule and reign with it. That's what they expected from the Scripture. But Jesus said, the lifted up. And I've got to be lifted up for the same reason that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Amen. Numbers chapter 21, that's where Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You remember what happened there? The children of Israel are journeying, my friend, towards Canaan. And you remember that some of them began to clamor, my friend, murmur and complain. And the Bible said their soul is discouraged because of the way. My friend, and the Bible said that the Lord set fiery serpents among them, and they bit them, and many died. But then the Bible said they prayed and cried to Moses and said, "Save us, my friend, from these serpents. We have sinned. Will you somehow, my friend, cause these serpents to go from us?" And Moses entreated the Lord, and the Lord said, "Put a serpent on the pole and lift that serpent up, and everybody that's been bitten, if they'll look at that serpent, they can live." Amen. And the Bible said Moses took a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and it so happened then that everyone that had been bitten by the fiery serpent, when they looked at the brazen serpent, their wound was healed, the poison was gone, and they lived. Amen. And Jesus said, it was necessary for Moses to lift up the serpent in the wilderness, because the people had been bitten. And he said, it's necessary, it's a must, that the Son of Man be lifted up like the serpent. I've got to be raised on a cross. I've got to be lifted up from the earth. I've got to go to Calvary and lay down my life. Why? Because mankind, the human race, has been bitten by the serpent of sin. Thank God. And we're all dead. Thank God. In trespasses and sin. All got a wound that cannot be healed. And he said the only way that mankind will ever be saved, the only way that the wound will be cured, the only way sin will be destroyed, is if I be lifted up. Amen. I must be lifted up, and then everybody that looks to me, I can live. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Oh, thank God it's true. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. There's salvation in no other but the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. Must be lifted up. It is a necessity. Now, let's look just a moment at this story of Moses and the children of Israel. They were bitten. The wound was there. The venom of the poison was in their body. And they began to die. Amen. Woo! But oh, when that pole, when that brazen serpent was raised up, all those that had the bite of the serpent looked and lived. And can I say this morning, all of us have been bitten, ain't got by the serpent I'm seeing this morning. But I got good news. There's a Savior. There's help. And there's hope. If you'll look to Jesus that died on the cross. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, it's good what He did. Thank God when He went to the well of Sychar and gave that woman a well of water instead of her water pot. It is good in John chapter 9 that He healed that blind man and worked the works of the Father. But His ultimate task was to go to the cross. Amen. He didn't come just to be a healer. He didn't come just to be a teacher. He didn't come just to be an example. Oh, He walked the walk that we could not walk. Amen. He lived the life Thank God. But the ultimate was for Him to die in our stead. We needed more than a teacher, more than a good man, more than an example. We needed a Savior, a substitute. Amen. And that's what He became when He died on the cross. Must be lifted up. Amen. Oh my. Moses made a brazen serpent. Brass in the Bible means the judgment of God. Or it's a type. Or it typifies. Or it shows the judgment of God. It was whereas Moses made the tabernacle, the Lord had him to make a brazen altar. It was at that brazen altar, amen, that they sacrificed the sacrifice that would atone for their sin. God judging sin on the altar. Amen. And that's what happened when Christ was lifted up on the cross as the serpent on the pole. He became the brazen serpent. He underwent God's judgment. Amen. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. God charged all of our sins to His Son. Amen. God imputed or put on Christ's account all of our sins. He didn't have none. He had lived 33 plus years, born of a virgin first, then lived 33 plus years without ever sinning one time, though God found in His mouth, done always all things that pleased the Father. He was holy, harmless, and without sin. Thank God. He was separate from sinners. There was no guile found in His mouth. Thank God. Oh yes. He was exactly, my friend, what Adam was not. Amen. What Adam was before the fall. But He never failed. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Are you listening to me? Thank God. But yet, when He came to the end of His life, God charged Him as though He had committed every sin that mankind would ever commit. God placed upon Him the iniquity of us all, and then led Him to Calvary, and at Calvary poured out His wrath, or poured out His judgment on His Son, and He bore our judgment for us. Amen. Woo! He took my friend, our penalty. He took our blame. Thank God. He's the brazen serpent on the pole. Thank God. And He died under the judgment of God. He died condemned. Oh my. Are you listening to me? He died cursed. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. God cursed His Son that all of us that were under the curse of sin could turn around and be lifted out or brought out from under that curse. He must be lifted up. He's the brazen serpent on the pole, that is, speaking of brass, the judgment of God. Not only the brazen serpent on the pole, can I say to you this morning, and that brass, but He is like the serpent. Of all the things that depict Christ, to me this is the most humiliating, is that Christ literally became the serpent on the pole. The curse for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I remind you that Moses did not catch one of those fiery serpents that had bitten the people and nail it on a cross or nail it on a pole and hold that up. He made a serpent out of brass. He formed it out of brass. So it was not that serpent, but it was like unto that serpent. Amen. And Christ, hallelujah, was made like unto us. He took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned it in the flesh. Amen. Woo! You see, we all should have been nailed to the cross. But if all of us had been nailed to the cross today and got our just deserts, thank God, they'll receive the judgment of God, the condemnation of God. That had been it. We had just died. Amen. As a hell-deserving sinner. As the wicked people that we are and were. Are you hearing me? And then it would have been no atonement. We'd just suffered for what we'd done wrong. Amen. Problem is, it wasn't enough for us just to suffer. Thank God. On the cross, we'd have suffered eternally. Are you hearing me? Died as that thief. I got on the left hand side, died that day. But then my friend was tormented in eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because in eternity men are still sinners. Are you listening to me? Hey, God, men are still set. Are you listening to me? God, help us. Oh, but Christ took our place and died in our stead. I became our substitute, our sacrifice. Hey, I'll bless His name. And God laid upon Him what He said laid upon all of us. Oh, thank God. And He bore it. He took it. He didn't shirk. He laid down His life freely. No man took His life, but He laid it down freely. He willingly went to the cross. He loved us so much that He died in our stead. Hallelujah. And because He is lifted up, now everybody that looks to Him that died on that cross, oh, hey God, can be healed, can be forgiven, can be justified. Hallelujah. Can be lifted from sin's curse. Amen. Woo! You see, since He swapped places with us and He took our judgment, hey God, though He didn't deserve none, He took our condemnation, though He shouldn't have been condemned. Now, when we come to Him by faith, God imputes His righteousness to us. Oh, I don't deserve, hey God, to be forgiven, and neither do you. I don't deserve to be justified. I don't deserve, thank God, not to go to hell. And the only reason I'm not going, it's not because of something I did, but because He was lifted up. And then I, by faith, look to Him as my only and all-sufficient Savior. And since He took my punishment, He took my place, now God has made me His own son. Amen. We just swap places is what happened. Woo! Amen. And oh, what a wonderful story. That's why He must be lifted up. Amen. Let me say to you this morning, bless His name. Once a person was bitten by the serpent, there was no ointment. There was no doctor. Amen. There was no deed they could perform that would heal that wound and get that venom or that poison out of their system. Amen. There was no other person in the camp. There was no parent. There was no brother or sister. There was no child. There was no friend. There was nobody that could change the condition of that person once they was bitten. Hallelujah. But oh, when Moses made that brazen serpent, stuck it up out there outside the camp. Woo! Hallelujah. Everybody that looked lived. Amen. What brought the serpent? What brought the healing? First of all, when they said, we've sinned. Hallelujah. And then look to Him by faith. Do you know what it takes to be saved? Those two things. Confess I've sinned. Confess I'm dying. Confess I'm poisoned. Amen. Woo! That's the hardest thing to do. That's the first and the hardest thing to admit. It's to admit you're bitten. Amen. Hallelujah. How well I remember since I grew up in church and was sort of sort of got religious and churchy growing up, and you know, and mimicked and patterned my life after the church people. And I'd say to God, Lord, if this crowd goes to heaven, I won't have any trouble. I'm as good as they are. But one night, the gospel light shined in on me, and I come to realize I had a wound. I'd been bitten by the serpent. I had the poison and the venom of sin inside of me, and I was dying. Hallelujah. I didn't want to admit it. I tried to hide from it. I tried to get around it. I tried to smooth it over, but there is no smoothing over. And the longer it went, the more I began to die, and the more I realized I was perishing. I was out of hope. I was headed down to the charred walls of hell. I was headed for destruction and damnation. Hallelujah. But oh, blessed night, when I just admitted I have sinned, I've been bitten, I'm poisoned. Amen. Oh, and then look to Jesus. Look to Him as my Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, salvation is not in some prayer you pray, some kind of performance that you perform, some kind of plan you follow. Salvation is when you confess you're the sinner and then look to Christ as the Savior and lay hold on Him. For he that hath the Son hath life. Hallelujah. And He was lifted up that you can be saved. Look to Him and live. Don't look to yourself. Look away from yourself. Look away from others. Look unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Look to Him and live this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I quickly mention to you, not only in these two verses in John 3 and in John 12 does it say the Son of Man must be lifted up, but in John chapter 20, the Bible said there's been some women down at the tomb that morning, the first day of the week, because they want to go down there and anoint the body of Jesus, preserve it. Preserve the body, make it last as long as it will. Give it a sweet smell from the odor of death and corruption. And they don't know who's going to roll the stone away when they get there, because them Romans have rolled that stone up to the door and said nobody's allowed in here. Stamped it with a government seal and said, it's hands off, this is government property. So they wonder who's going to roll the stone away for them. But when they get there, there ain't no stone. Hallelujah. And there's not only not a stone, there's no body for them to anoint, but there is two angels. Hallelujah. Woo! Said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but He's risen. Woo! They take off back to where the disciples are gathered together, and they said, we've done the tomb about daylight this morning. I'm going to know His body, and it's gone. And we've seen two angels. I ain't got two men in white apparel that said He's risen. And the disciples said, let's go see. And they start off. Amen. And John's out front. He's just running like everything. And all of a sudden he looks around and Peter comes by him and out, or he comes by Peter, excuse me, and outruns Peter. Amen. Hey, and he gets there first, but he just stops. He sees the stone rolled away, but he don't want to go in. He just stops at the door. When Peter gets there, he's out of breath, but he just walks right on in. And the Bible said he sees the clothes laid like they were, and he believes. Hallelujah. What did Peter see? Thank God. He saw the clothes as they had been wrapped around the body. Amen. And it looked like somebody just got a hold of that body and went and left them clothes wrapped like there ought to be somebody in them. But there wasn't nobody in them. And not only is that what he saw, but he saw up there where the head of the Lord had been laid was the napkin that covered His face. Oh, let me just, give me just a minute. Can y'all, have y'all got just a minute? Hallelujah. Bless His name. Now, the reason they would put a napkin on the face of a body, amen, is those strips of cloth that they would wrap around a person. Amen. Quite often when the person, when the body began to putrefy, amen, or even the very sign that they had put on that body or on those strips would stick to that person. And so if somebody later on wanted to see that body or to identify that person or to look at them again, if they unwrapped, amen, that cloth and it stuck to the face, it would peel the flesh away and you couldn't see the person. So they would take the napkin and lay it over that face and then put them strips around it. Therefore, when they took that around, off, removed that, then there would be that napkin that wouldn't stick to it. And the napkin wouldn't have, amen, it wouldn't stick like that other cloth would. And then they remove that napkin and say, that's the person. Yes, that's him. Yes, that's her. Amen. If they need some proof, I just want to see. Are y'all listening to me? So really, in actuality, the napkin was here and that cloth was wrapped around it. Hallelujah. Woo! So he come out of that cloth. Or out of that, yeah. Out of that wrap, that, amen. Just the same thing he's wrapped in when he's born, like swaddling clothes. Wrapped like that. He come out of that, and then he still had the napkin on, and he just folded it and laid it over there by itself. I didn't fold it neatly. He folded it neatly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. He had to get up, because how could the napkin be by itself over there without the rest of the cloth? Had he not come out of there? And Peter said, I believe he's alive. Woo! Anybody listening to me this morning? Hallelujah. Can I go a little further this morning? You done know this, you done heard this, but let me remind you of it again this morning. And that folded napkin, hallelujah, amen, was a Jewish tradition that they had when they sat at the table. If a person was sitting at the table and being served, and for some reason they had to leave, amen, oh, unexpectedly, quickly, while the server might have been out in the kitchen somewhere getting something else, amen, that person sitting at the table to let the server know if they were through or if they're coming back, they'd do it by the napkin that they had. Hallelujah. If they were through with the meal and wasn't going to be back, it meant you can clean the place, go ahead. I ain't God, I'll have no dessert, I'll have no second helping. I won't be back, I'm through, I'm done. Thank God, they would wad that napkin up and throw it down at their place where they were sitting at their plate. And that would know that that person that was serving them, no, they're not coming back, they're through, they're done. But if they folded that napkin, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, oh, bless His name, and laid it neatly beside the plate, that meant to the person that was serving, thank God, don't do away with the plate. Don't wash the fork and the spoon. Ain't God in the knife. Don't wash the cup and the platter. Ain't God in keep the dessert. Ain't God warm. I'm coming back. Hallelujah. And when Jesus got out of that tomb, that cloth proved that He come out of there. And He took it off His face and laid it down. Woo! Hallelujah. Ain't God. And said, I'll be back. Coming back, and we're looking for Him, and among them that look for Him shall He appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I preach one more thing? I know one more thing. I may think of something else when I get this one thing done, and I'll tell that one to you if the Lord wants me to, and you got time, but just one more thing. Hallelujah. What's His name? Woo! When Moses came off of the mountain after being with God 40 days and 40 nights, and he walked into camp, the people said, we can't stand it. Thank God, your face has got such a glow and a shine, we can't stand it. So Moses veiled his face. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And even the Jews to this day haven't looked into the end of the things. All they can see is the law of Moses. They had never been no further. Hallelujah. When Jesus took that napkin or that veil off of His face. Woo! Thank God. Oh, He was saying to the Jews as well as to us, thank God the veil has been lifted. Hey, thank God. And you can behold the glory of God. Oh, y'all listen to me. Thank God you can look in the very face of God. I'm glad we can. We can behold the face of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is saying, what I've done is not veiled. It's not obscure. It's not hidden, thank God. Oh, bless His name. It's not done in a corner. You don't have to look and can't find it. Oh, if you'll receive me, I and my Father will come in and make our abode with you. The veil was rent in twain in the temple. The napkin was taken off His face. And every sinner that will look to Christ can be saved
and see the glory of God. Amen. Peter saw all of that and he believed. And since nothing happened to Peter, John said, I'm going to go in there too. And he burst in there and he saw the same things that Peter did and he believed. And same clothes. And verse 9 of John chapter 20 said, they believed Him. They didn't understand. They believed He was alive. For they had not yet understood the Scriptures that He must rise again from the dead. He had to get up. He had to be born of a virgin. He had to live a sinless life. He had to die a vicarious. He had to die a substitutionary death. But all would have been in vain. And we wouldn't be here today talking about none of this if He had not rose again. He must rise again. If He just died as the sinner at Calvary, in the sinner's place, amen, we'd have hope only in this life. And Paul said we'd be of all men most miserable. Hallelujah. Bless His name. But because He rose again by Him giving His life, thank God, we got pardon from our sin. We got forgiveness of our sin. But because He rose again, we become justified. Hallelujah. That is, as though we had never sinned. Because He rose again, now we have a relationship and a fellowship with the Father. Anybody hearing me? He must rise again. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, preaching at Pentecost, hey God, having loosed the pains of death, for it was not possible that He should be holden of it. He had to get up. He did get up. It was a necessity. Hallelujah. Well, how did He get up? Amen. From Adam to him, every man had to die. That wasn't translated by Enoch and Elijah. They had to die. So how could He die and then get up? Because He didn't die for His own sin. Amen. Hallelujah. And where there's no sin, thank God, no transgression of the law, thank God, there can be no death. There can be no penalty. He didn't die for His sin. He died for ours. And so death couldn't hold Him. He didn't have no sin. Death had no claim or no right on Him. He got up. Hallelujah. Woo! And if He got up, everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will also get up. Woo! Bless His name. Hallelujah this morning. He must rise again, and that's our hope. Oh, bless His name. Amen. I wonder, have you looked to Him to live this morning? I wonder, have you looked to Him to live this morning? Oh, you've been bitten by the serpent of sin, and nothing you can do. You can bind up your wound. You can put any kind of ointment and gauze on it you want to. But the only care for your bite, the only care for your wound, and the only solution for the poison of sin and the venom of sin that's in you is the cross of Calvary. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Look away from yourself and look to Him. Behold your Savior. Behold the man
happiness in the world. And He can take yours away. Quickly, I won't preach it long. Three things that are a must for man. These were a must for Christ. Here's a must for man. John 3:7. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Verses 3 and verses 5 of that text, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said, I'll tell you something else, Nicodemus. You must be born again. And thank God, because Christ was lifted up, we can be born again. John 3:30, John the Baptist preaching, saying, I must decrease and he must increase. And in salvation, that's exactly what happens. You decrease. You deny yourself. You confess that you cannot save yourself. You cannot help God save you. Amen. You decrease that He might have the first and the preeminent place, the first place, the throne of your life and your heart, and say, thou and thou alone must save. Same thing when you come to living for God, serving the Lord. You must decrease that He can increase. John had run his race. John had been 6 months preaching to the nation of Israel. But he said, my time's out now. I must decrease. Thank God, so He can come on the scene. And oh, for our life that would decrease, our will, our wants, our ways might decrease, that His will and way and work might be carried on and increase through our lives. Amen. John 4:24, He's at that well again that I started out in the beginning. He said that woman at the well, and she said, how do we know which place to worship? My fathers worship on the mountain. Your fathers worship Jerusalem. And he said, your fathers and you know not what you worship. For salvation is of the Jews. And he said, I'll tell you, the hour is coming, and now it is, that the true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. That's the only way you worship. Hallelujah. By the way, for years, you know, we preached that as you got to have the Holy Ghost. I understand that you do. But that's not the context. It's a little S. It's not a big S. Not a capitalized S. It means you got to worship, thank God, from your innermost being. Worship's more than from the head. Hallelujah. And I've heard folks say, man, I like that, them songs right there. They make me clap my hands and stomp my feet. Well, worship's more than clapping your hands and stomping your feet. It's more than from your head. It's when it comes from your heart, from your innermost being. Amen. When you, thank God, by the Spirit that has been resurrected, amen, regenerated and renewed, thank God, by being born again, it's when it connects up, hey, with the Spirit of God that you can worship. And you worship in spirit and you worship in truth. Amen. You can't be hypocritical. You can't pretend. Thank God. To really worship, you got to be honest with God. It's in truth. Anybody hearing me? You got to come clean with it. Are you listening to me? And oh, but when you get there, oh, how wonderful it is to worship. Hallelujah. A lot of folks will attend a worship service today, but they won't never worship. Amen. There's a difference in attending a worship service and worshiping yourself. Hallelujah. They may do some actions. My friend, perform some things that they're asked to do. They may give something an offering. They might sing with the congregation or even sing a special. Or they might say amen or they might make a prayer. But never really worship. Thank God. Oh. My friend, it's for many people, it's all outside and not inside. But if you're going to worship, it must be in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Christ performed the must. Hallelujah. He finished the work. He went to Calvary. He got out of the tomb. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Christ has done what's necessary for every sinner to be saved. Amen.
Now, will you do the thing that you need to do for you to be saved? What is the thing I need to do to be saved? That's it. You need to quit doing anything and let God do it. Confess you're a sinner and look to Him by faith and let Him heal you of the wound, let Him heal you of the venom and the poison that's inside. Are y'all hearing me? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen. You can work the rest of your life. You could fast, you could give, you could suffer the rest of your life, and it still would not heal the wound. Only looking to Christ by faith. Somebody said that seems too simple. I know it is. It confuses a carnal mind. Hallelujah. Woo! Can you see that mama saying, little Jimmy, you've been bitten, haven't you, son? Mama, I was out playing beside the tent, and I got bit. I know little Jimmy. But did you know Moses lifted up a serpent, a brazen serpent on the pole outside this camp? And little Jimmy, if you'll go out there and look, you can live. Amen? That simple? Yes, yes. The carnal mind wants to do something about the wound. The carnal mind wants to clean it and dress it and fix it up. But it's not in that. Thank God. It's in repentance and faith. Repentance is being godly sorry that you're a sinner and what you've done. And faith then is looking to Him to do away with what you have done and who you are. Do away with the bite, the wound, the venom, the poison. And He can this morning. He can. Everybody stand this morning. We're going to ask the sister to come to the piano. If it's all right, Brother Danny, her play. If you need to pray this morning, would you come this morning? Jesus performed the must in His life. Now you must be born again. You must decrease and let Him increase. You must worship in spirit and in truth. Will you do what the necessity is laid upon you? If you don't repent, you'll perish. Oh my. But would you look to Him? He was lifted up. And He'll draw all men. He is lifted up for you. Would you look to Him today? He took your place on the cross. God's expecting you to look to His Son by faith. And believe on Him and receive Him and trust Him to this. Would you come? Would you come? Oh, would you come this morning? If you feel the need of prayer, the burden of prayer, the Holy Spirit will be brought in. The remedy is available. The remedy.
has been made. Christ.